So, last week I promised you I'd finish the story, and maybe we will, I don't know. So, I always think of the people when they, in slavery, the Hebrews, there they are for hundreds of years in Egypt. And they're slaves, and they don't get to worship God. They're not allowed to leave their jobs and go out into the wilderness to spend some time in fellowship with God. They say, work, work, and they're not in control of their lives, and the Pharaoh kills the young baby boys, and it's a terrible life, but they call out to God, and he hears them, doesn't he? He hears them, so he sends an 80-year-old man to come rescue him that has a speech impediment, right? God's pretty funny, isn't he? But he leads him out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they take him to the promised land, and there they falter, and there they fall, and you know the story of Exodus. But here we turn to the book of Judges. So the people are ready. They've waited 40 years to take their homeland back. And God says, I'll be with you. But he gave him rules. You have to do it my way. You have to follow my rules. I'll give you 10 simple rules. You can probably keep them, right? You couldn't keep the one in the garden. You can't keep 10. They gave him the book of Leviticus, 600 laws. Keep my laws, and you can have your promised land, the land of your inheritance, the land of Abraham, the land of Isaac, and the land of Jacob. It's yours. And they're excited. They go in, they have victories, and they defeat the 30 kings. And at the end of it, they've reclaimed the land, and Joshua is old now, and he's like, I don't know who you're going to follow, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people go to the lands of their inheritance. So here in Judges 2, the angel of the Lord appears, and he's sent up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you out of Egypt. And I led you into the land that I swore to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Hear what the Lord says. He says, why have you done this? It almost breaks my heart to hear God saying, why'd you do this? I gave you everything. Why'd you do this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. When you move into the land, the things that the people worship, the things that they idol, will be what you want. We all want nice homes and nice cars and the best-looking wife, and we'll do what it takes to get there. These are our idols, our new things. And God says, it's me. You don't want these things, and we turn away. This Bible just keeps coming around and around, doesn't it? You think we change. We get smarter because we got a cell phone that we can make movies and TikTok. TikTok, Keith? I'm not even sure what it is. It looks like fun. You know, they dance and stuff, and people watch it and they get paid. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things, the people wept out loud. They heard the truth and they wept. After Joshua had dismissed them after his big speech saying, go, take possessions of the land. Each of them went to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the time of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance in a place called Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gosh. Don't you love the detail? You want to find out where Joshua was buried? You know exactly. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a real place. He's up near Mount Goash, right? You know where that is? I don't know. It's near Ephraim, so it's in the northern territory. We do know that. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who didn't know the Lord and what he had done. They forgot in one generation, didn't they? They were lousy teachers, weren't they? They didn't teach their children. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. They served the other gods. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him. They served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of their enemies who plundered them. He sold them into their hands of the enemies all around them, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, and the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn. They're in great distress. What do we learn? What do we do when we're in distress? Who do we call out to? Not Baal, or the asterisk, or the things of our hands. So the Lord raised up judges. He hears, like he raised up Moses. He raised up judges, people who will save them from the hands of their raiders. Yet they would not listen to the judges, but they prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and he saved them out of the hands of the enemies as long as that judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. You see what he does there? When the people cry out for help, he sends help every time. Every time you call on him, he will send help. It's usually not the way we see it. It's like a man named Gideon. You got the guy who makes wheat down the road. He's the one that's going to share the word. And when he dies, they kind of go back. 300 men, they defeated those Midianites, didn't they? But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways and they were even more corrupt. Therefore, the Lord was angry because of this. Nation has violated the covenant I ordained by the ancestors, and they have not listened to me. I will no longer drive out their enemies, and I will use them to test my people. And the Lord allowed the enemies of Israel to remain. He did not drive them out at once, and he gave them into the hands of Joshua. The book of Judges ends with this, chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Tell me the Bible's not true. Tell me it's not an accurate representation of people. We had no king and everyone does as they see fit, don't we, Keith? Is that a good thing? No. Really? Not a good thing. Doing what we want. Not good. So after the book of Judges closes where there's no king, the people call out for a king. We want a king. And Samuel, he's the judge. He's the last of the judges. You know what he says to the people? A king will tax you. The king will take your finest men and make armies and will take a share of your wheat and a share of your cattle and your horses and will take your women and take them to serve in the palace. He's going to take the best. And what did the people say? We want a king. We want a man to rule over us. That guy is going to do it for us. And I know I sound political because I talk this every 4 years, I do this kind of thing. But you know, this next person is not going to save us. But yet we will put the name in the yard. And this guy's the guy. This is the one. Who's going to save us? The Lord will save us. So they want a king. So God says to Samuel, give him a king. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. As a judge, they're rejecting me. Give him a king. Give him someone handsome, someone tall, someone who was running around the hills looking for his donkeys. He's going to be the king. And he's a terrible king, right? He takes the priestly duties, and he really messes up. But the people, they do rally around him until the next king comes, a young boy named David. He is a man after God's own heart. He unites the people. They all come together. It's going great. And he makes big mistakes, doesn't he? He steals his best friend's wife and gets the best friend killed. But God still blesses him because he is contrite. You can read that in Psalm 51. And so the kings are ruling and the people fall away. Sometimes a good king comes and follows God like Josiah and Hezekiah followed the Lord. And then the bad king like Zedekiah turns away. So he sends prophets like Jeremiah, Hosea, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, who we hear at Christmas. Listen to this, friends, from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you since the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers to him. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent for us to live in. He brings princes to nothing and reduces the rulers of this world to naught. No sooner are the kings and presidents and councilmen are planted. No sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like the chaff. To whom will you compare God? Who is his equal? The Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? The Lord says. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each star by name. That sounds like 147, doesn't it? It's echoing it. Did you make that connection? He calls the stars by name, Orion and the seven sisters. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting. God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can understand. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Who's getting old and feeling weary? Besides me. Dorothy feeling old? Yeah. She raised her hand. I didn't pick on her. You're not feeling old, are you? Woke up like, yay! Yeah, sometimes it gets worse. And we try to prevent it. And I blew my back out tying my shoes. I had to call an ambulance. I couldn't tie the other shoe. They came. You've heard these words before. We usually read them at a funeral, don't we? When we're saying goodbye. But listen to the words. Who's in charge? Do you hear the poetry? Haven't you heard? Don't you know? Do you know? The world knows. We choose to ignore him, don't we? We choose to put him aside and say, the works of my hands are what's important. I can make it. Look what I've done. Look at the house I built. I'm quite proud of that house. Me and my brothers built that on a shoestring. And everybody, no offense to realtors, but everybody wants me to sell it. I'm like, where am I going to go? What's the next thing? Sure, they'll give me a lot. I got equity, but equity ain't income, you know? It's different. You know, fancy. Not picking on realtors. What'd you come here for today? To see each other? To worship, right? I'm calling someone out today. Uh-oh, I know. Another pastor in a Methodist church, and I won't tell you where. I won't leave this so you can find it. You all woke up this morning, you showered, and you ate, put on some nice clothes, and you came here to worship God, didn't you? But some churches say, you know, you got to accept change. We're not children. We understand. Things change. We're realistic, right? We know things aren't going to be the same tomorrow, right, Keith? Things are always changing. You don't need to remind me. I'm acceptable, but I sort of like things the way they are sometimes, too. When I come into a church, I want to sing Be Still Thy Soul. I want to hear On Eagle's Wings, all right? We have to change. We can't just sit in the pews. We can't stay away from church because the pastor drove them out. He's calling them back, right? Send them the letter. Come back. We must focus on the greater purpose, not on you. Not about you. It's about this ideal. We must step up. We must learn and grow. We must do this. We must encourage. We must express the joy. We must not grumble, gossip, or complain. So quit your whining. Can you imagine sending that to the people? No. If you haven't been here in a while, you ought to come back. Because when you're in an abusive relationship and you get out of it, the first thing you should go back to it, right, Keith? Go back to it. Quit your grumbling. Whew. Imagine getting that one in the mail. Imagine your tithing dollars paying for that. Where does it speak of coming to worship together? Where did he say, come and lay your burdens down at the cross? Come together today. Get on your knees and bow before your Creator. Give your life to him. That's what some people are getting. What have you done? What are you bringing today to the table? You don't got to bring nothing. It's what you're going to leave here today. All right, leave all that junk. Leave the pain. Leave the guilt. Leave your sins. You will be forgiven today. You come together. You take the bread and you take the cup. He is the bread of life. It is his blood. It is his covenant. Jeremiah says there's a cup of wrath, and everyone here is going to drink it. All of you are going to drink the cup of wrath of God one day. But Jesus says, I'll drink it for you. I'll take it. We want justice in the world, don't we? We want the guilty to be punished. And guess who's not getting punished? You and me, because of him. I won't face the stripes and the crown of thorns and the whips on the back and the mocking and people spitting on me because he did it. Isn't this amazing? This is what we came for today. This is the change. Not to go back to a relationship that's abusive, but to come in a place full of love like this place. This is an amazing place. Hearts and St. John's were amazing too. There's a lot of them that are amazing, but there's some churches that are hurting because this is what they're being told. Quit your grumbling. Come on back and listen to me. You know, it's more about respecting the leadership. Whew, that was a hard one to read. What are we coming here to do, Keith? We're worshiping, aren't we? We're praying for one another. We're praying for Jennifer and Bruce and our troops. We're praying for new birth. Can't wait. When is that date?
June.
June-ish. They don't know. When? June sometime. Would you pray with me? I didn't get to the rest of the story. Sorry. Maybe next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We come here to worship you. We come here to seek your mercies and your forgiveness and your grace and your compassion. You give us things we don't deserve. We come here to lay down our burdens among one another, to look each other in the eye in this church and see the love we have for one another. What a gift it is to be here today in the house of the Lord. We thank you for your Son. He wiped away all the tears, takes away all the pain. And one day we will stand before you, Father. We'll look the creator of the universe in the face, and we will be guiltless and shameless. We will stand before you white as snow, white as the snow that falls and covers the ground like wool, you say. We will be pure and be forgiven. We will be welcomed home as a son of God, as a child of God, to our heavenly home. Until that day when we be good and just stewards of all you've blessed us with, Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.